agenda page number.
Four.
So.
Yes, good morning. We continue our deliberations with a discussion on accounting for dynamic risk management. Yuji?
Yes. Yes. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let me start. During February and March 2015, the ISB discussed the high-level feedback received from comment letters to the DB and outreach activities. The May paper is about a possible way forward. First of all, let me summarize the fundamental challenge of the project. That is, there are conflicts in views and differing needs for the project among stakeholders. For example, preparers in general suggest, first, the project should address the challenges of applying hedge accounting that aims to manage volatility in profit or loss arising from accounting mismatches. Second, the flexibility to apply fair value or cash flow hedge accounting, the portfolio revaluation approach, PRA, and the fair value option is important. And third, revaluation of behavioralized exposures, especially core demand deposits, should be accepted in spite of conceptual challenges to the extent it offsets fair value changes of derivatives. Users of financial statements generally supported the project and the concept of the PRA. They felt that the PRA was a step forward in terms of better alignment between financial reporting and DRM. This is because the idea of the PRA allows them to analyze net interest income, NII, by the profit source, i.e. customer margin versus the result of taking open interest rate risk position, derivatives by their use, i.e. derivatives for trading purpose versus those used for DRM, dynamic risk management purpose, and both what is hedged and what is unhedged. On the other hand, however, users expressed a concern over the lack of comparability if the accounting for DRM is optional. The view of prudential and securities regulators is the accounting model for DRM should not expand fair value or quasi-fair value measurement. However, they also say there is the need for solution while emphasizing the needs of discipline, safeguards, and disclosures. Bearing these challenges in our mind, the staff tried to identify the common ground, i.e. common information needs between all constituents. One key message from users was that there is a lack of clarity in the information provided about holistic picture of DRM activities, although there is no shared view on where, say, profit or loss, OCI, or note disclosures, and how the information is shown. Preparers also say disclosure requirements under IFRS 7 don't necessarily fit with DRM activities. Also, many of them, but not all, are willing to countenance disclosures with a holistic scope given other requirements. Comment letter analysis shows there seems to be less diversity in this area. Therefore, the staff proposed that our analysis for re-deliberation should first consider information requirements through disclosures, then follow on recognition and measurement requirements. The staff are of the view that this approach has a number of advantages, including, first, it directly deals with information that both users and preparers believe to be useful. Second, decisions concerning recognition and measurement can then be built on the information needs with a greater degree of certainty concerning transparency. Third, this approach should give the ISB the flexibility and the methodology to try and explore how best to address the diversity in views. Performance as reported in the primary financial statements also satisfies a key information need of stakeholders. Therefore, recognition measurement play an equally important part in addressing the information needs of stakeholders. Consequently, the staff believe that a disclosures-only approach will not meet the information needs of constituents. The staff would like to clarify that the above proposal does not mean a two-phase project with disclosures being considered first, leading to proposed amendments to IFA 7, and then with recognition measurement being considered subsequently as a separate phase. The staff believe that recognition and measurement is an integral part of the project and cannot be considered either in isolation or in a different phase. What the staff is recommending is that in the project plan, recognition and measurement be considered subsequent to disclosures with the objective to arrive at a consistent set of proposals, including disclosures, recognition, and measurement. The staff also recommended that the ISB prioritize dynamic interest rate risk management. This is because, firstly, existing difficulties are the most prominent in the area of dynamic interest rate risk management. The inability to directly apply hedge accounting to core demand deposits is a key challenge in accounting for interest rate risk management and is expected to become more important over time under a low interest rate environment. Secondly, based on the responses in comment letters to the DP, the staff believe that proxy hedge accounting is a less urgent issue for non-interest rate risks, as the magnitude of the problem seems to be smaller. The staff further recommend that the ISB consider other risks at a later stage. This means the potential scope of application of any approach not be limited at this time. Also, given that IFA 9 is only recently issued, it's likely that not all aspects of representing DRM for other risks has been explored at present. For this understanding to be gained, we need to allow time to elapse. The above direction better accommodates this. Finally, the staff also recommend that the ISB consider forming an expert advisory panel at a later stage. This is because the staff believe that establishing a term of reference within which the group could advise the ISB is difficult now, given the status of the project today. Finally, the staff is asking the board as to whether or not they agree with the staff recommendations in the agenda paper. Here, I want to turn the discussion to the board. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I didn't come yesterday, but I observed the performance of all of you. Particularly Pat one bringing the fair value when we discuss transitional issues. So the staff proposed to start with the information requirement, disclosure requirement seems strange. Can I clarify your idea? My understanding is it not recommend us to start with design this deliberate the disclosure requirement. By contrast, your idea is to make sure what are those information useful both for users and preparers. I'm right?
Yes, you are.
So if that is the case, you know, the concern you emphasize is actually not the concern we should have. You know, I understand, as I said, if you agree, we have to understand user needs and the preparer's information needs first. They design the recognition measurement requirement. But in the paper, it looks like we designed the disclosure requirement first, and then, you know, design the recognition and measurement principles. Looks like very strange. This is why I ask this question. Just like we discussed the regulatory activity, DP staff said, let us first ensure what your user needs, what useful information we can provide through a particular accounting requirement. So this is why I ask you.
Yes, I think let me clarify that we are just proposing to develop disclosure requirements first. Okay, you are in a sense correct. We in the later stage we are exploring what is the best information tool for users and preparers looking at gap and non-gap and regulatory requirements. If we have better idea on disclosure requirements, based on this, we can think better about recognition measurement.
So it's what we are doing. You're absolutely right. We are looking at the information needs, what people need from an aspect of dynamic risk management. Now, that need can be met in a number of ways, what we will talk about as going through. And one of the things, and it's a question of priorities, what we have mainly said, clearly said, that you cannot just do this through disclosures. You'll have to do it through recognition and measurement as well, because the performance reporting is a critical part of that user need. But how do we go about addressing this? Is the order is what we are proposing in the paper, is that we look at the information needs, identify what are the information needs that is required, then try and see what of those needs we can address through disclosures first. That will also give us an idea and build a base for moving on to the more, how shall I put it, more dive onto the issue of recognition and measurement, where we have seen a lot more diversity in views.
Can I ask I
think it's a very interesting experiment, yes. in the sense that if you go straight for measurement and recognition, it becomes contentious from the very start. And here you can, you know, on disclosures, the sensitivity is usually a little bit less. So you can try to find common ground more easily between users and preparers about, well, what could at least be interesting information for both parties, and then take it from there and narrow it down to recognition and measurement. So it is very unusual.
Can I ask a simple question? Disclosure can be broad sense, including presentation. We discussed
It can be.
You know, the supplementary no disclosure only. What do you mean?
We haven't gone into that, yes, but I do agree that it can, in certain cases with the subtlety, include also presentation. But here, for the main impact of the presentation issues, I think it will come up when how you start recognizing future NII movements, and that is recognition and measurement. So it will blend in. You cannot do one in the isolation, but yes, it can subtly move into the other side as well.
Thank you.
Sue?
Thanks. Wegwo's touching on the first thing that I wanted to raise. I agree with my understanding of what the staff are proposing in here, but I think we need to first check whether my understanding is correct, but then if it is, I think we need to be very careful with the words we use. So in some places in the paper we use the word information requirements or information needs, and then we slip to disclosure all the time. And I think what we mean is that we want to think first of all about what package of information, which to me would include note disclosures, but also what is presented in the performance measurement, if I can use that term, and on the balance sheet. So what's the sort of whole suite of information that you would get both on the face of the financial statements, what do you understand about the sources of earnings for a bank from those sort of different NIM approaches that some of which we explored in the DP, and in addition think about disclosures. So for me it's more comprehensive, so we need to be careful, I think, starting with update, not to use the word disclosure because it will upset people. I think that I'm not sure that it will be less contentious actually starting there, but I think it gives us the opportunity to think about what users might like to understand and what preparers might think is a good depiction of their risk management that for communication perspectives, and to see what commonality we've got between the two. I think the messaging, if we go with this approach, is going to be very important. I agree with it because I think it's useful to start with, okay, what information do we want to be able to deliver, and then use that as our anchor to decide what recognition and measurement requirements would help us get to that picture, which I think is what you're planning. We have to be careful with messaging, though, because I've already had one conversation where somebody had read this paper and thought that we were implying that we were going to actually change disclosure requirements in IFRS 7 first, step one, and then think about whether we'd change recognition and measurement sort of as phase two. And I don't, that's not my understanding. My understanding is more in terms of developing the whole project, we'll start thinking about the information needs, use that as our base for thinking, and then sort of solve back to that.
No, absolutely.
On the expert group, I agree with keeping that open for now. And the reason I agree with keeping that open now is that until we know what help we need, we don't know what sort of experts we need. So we might need users of financial statements, we might need risk management experts, we might need people who understand the accounting mechanics of hedge accounting. We don't know what we want help solving yet, so we don't know what type of people we need. So that's, I think, for another day.
Amaru.
Thanks, Sas. Well, first of all, I'd like to acknowledge the staff's excellent work in this camp. It's very very delicate, I would say, and complex, and has lots of effects in many industries, and particularly in one, it's the banking industry. So I don't want to pile up on what's already said. I think you are, but I would like to stress, you are absolutely, I do agree with your idea of identifying the information needs, because with that, only with that, we can identify clearly what the problems are, and if are there any problems really on these. So I agree, this is the first step, and we should pursue it. That I have one concern, but this concern is diminished, I would say. And this concern is apparently the paper, when reading the paper, this one can understand that we are going into industry-specific standards. So I think we should communicate very clearly why, and I don't think the paper brings us why. We decided that we're in concentrating in the interest rates aspect. Of course, reading the following the project and reading the comment letters, we clearly see the mixed views and the lack of a direction that would help us in develop a standard that could encompass all industries. So I think we should be very clear and careful in communicating this and why is that. about the project itself, well, I think we should continue with the project, and particularly because we do have today this dual hedge accounting application, IAS 39 versus IFRS 9, and so we do need to do something. And one message at least comes from this, is from the banking industry, and including regulators, that there is something there that need to be explored, at least I would say, but that need to be fixed. And of course, in the banking industry, there are potential effects that can be significant, and this industry is particularly important. So I do agree with direction. I think we should, but communication here will be key for us. And I agree with Sue and the expert group. I think you've been very wise. Before any suggestion to form an expert group, we need to know really what sort of help we would need in the future. So, I agree with the direction.
Just a quick comment, Amaru. We agree with the communication which Sue says. I think this will be critical with how we message this. On the other industry, do you think we need to emphasize this communication as well going forward, what we have said in the paper, that it's a direction and we'll come back to it as and when required later?
Yeah, I think so, because there are I accept and acknowledge that not all industries do use models similar to the ones we used as a base model to discuss when we develop discussion paper, but there are particular entities, at least in some, I learned in part with you in some outreach activities, there are industries, big industries in that are non-financials that use some sort of DRM, so and they might ask, why not us? So that's why the communication.
Thank you. Well, I don't want to repeat what has been said by my colleagues, to which I agree very much. A couple of remarks. In terms of scope, I think that we have IFRS 9, the new hedging in IFRS 9 that will become effective in a couple of years or pretty soon, and that will address probably very much the needs of corporates other than banks. And I think it's wise to wait and see how this new model is working and whether or not it does fulfill the needs of corporates before we undertake any new work on matters like forex exchange or commodities, because we have a model in place for that and maybe it's sufficient to address the needs. So the idea of focusing on interest rate risk is, I think, a wise idea. Second point, as you noted in the paper somewhere, there is some fear, some resistance to what might be perceived as an extension of the use of fair value measurements. I just went back to the G20 recommendations. G20 said, improve accounting for financial instruments without expanding the use of fair value. So there is a sensitivity here. We are not expanding the use of fair value in this model, but quasi-fair value, as you noted. And there is some confusion maybe in the minds of many people. So let's proceed with a degree of caution and make sure we first really identify the needs, test the market model, maybe by looking at what disclosures can do or cannot do.
Yes.
Anyway, disclosures, I think, will have to incorporate a degree of measurement.
Yes.
I don't think you can give good disclosures in this field without measuring certain items which are not currently measured, i.e. core deposits. And that has to be given some amounts. So let's see whether we can improve disclosures, convinced that there is no harm with such disclosures, that they are useful, and see how the market reacts, and then after maybe move to the recognition on the face, because that will be recognition and measurement in the notes, and then move maybe at some later stage to measurement on the face of the financial statements. So I think that on that basis, I do totally agree with the staff recommendations.
Thanks. I agree with the fair value. We need to be cautious. We have had to...
I was told by some banker that full fair value coming back through the window, you know. I said, no, it's not full fair value. It is measurement of credit risk. Yeah, okay. There is not a big difference, you know.
Yeah. New impairment model is also partial fair value.
Zhang Wu.
Thank you. On the question one and disclosure first issues, I'm wondering whether we have decided a kind of a scope of this project, and a narrow scope project, or a kind of a full picture of a dynamic risk management.
Scope means
there are the big issue in the discussion paper is whether we are going to focus on the just the risk mitigation in that area. Another one is giving a full picture of the dynamic risk management. I would like to understand, before you are launching this disclosure first approach, what one of these two are you considering in your mind?
I think, fair point. When we're looking at the information need, I don't think we have made that cut. We have heard that the information need, one of the key users is the holistic approach, and that's where also preparers seem to be more willing from a disclosures perspective. But as saying, this cut is difficult because disclosures in the notes also require some amount of measurement and everything. So I don't think we have made the cut as yet, but it's going to be based on the information need, and it's likely we will consider the holistic approach when we look at it.
Okay, in that case, you know, I think we'll be very careful. You know, if you to take this kind of approach, then I guess it will take a really much, much time to finish this project because we have no big framework to make a good guide us to, you know, because we are just discussing and exploring all kind of information needs. then maybe we can work beyond our accounting model. Maybe some regulatory report might do a better job in giving us such kind of information. So I'm saying, you know, we need to exercise some caution when you do a kind of this kind of work, because generally, note disclosure is very good and so sad. You know, it's a kind of beyond. Sometimes it's beyond the general traditional accounting model, I think.
Yeah, we will certainly be looking at quite a few of the other disclosures availability, what is there. And some of the jurisdictions, Chingwu, do require this already, may not be public. But yes, we will certainly be cautious and explore when it's.
Yes, so another thing is on that expert panel. Yeah, we do not know what information needs we need, what kind of information we suggest. But in the beginning, we should maybe make a decision on the high level of the high level issue of this project. And that's the core issue in the discussion paper. So we might organize some kind of experts. They are very good knowledge of this kind of things. Then we can get quite a good feedback, good advice from those experts. But we can organize another different expert panel when we deal with some technical issues. But we haven't decided yet some kind of big scope of this project. So for deciding that kind of really big issue of this project, we need to get some advice from outside, just rather than thinking about the issue inside of this organization.
Fully agree with that. We are not saying that we won't go outside. Don't forget, we have 126 comment letters which have come to us. We've done over 50 outreach meetings as well. What we are saying is that, yes, we will certainly talk to others as we go along, including regulators and other jurisdictions. But to fructify that in a formal group, we need to give that group a scope of work, what the questions they will address and what they will tell us. I don't think we are at this stage now where we can do that. So it is going to come, but slightly at a later stage. We are not saying that we can do such a complex project without that, but we are just saying that not immediately, but coming at a later stage. Patrick?
I agree with the direction of the project, and I would like to recommend a couple of suggestions with respect to how we might go about dealing with this topic of disclosure. We presented in the discussion paper a couple of alternatives for the way presentation might be considered. And I think one of the things that we could also perhaps take a lesson is that it's, I think, far easier for the board to come to a consensus and an understanding of what is meant when we put models and numbers in front of us as opposed to papers with words. So I would like to leverage what is in the discussion paper, particularly what's on page 67 of the discussion paper, as well as the succeeding pages, which display the P&L presentation. The first page I refers to the statement of financial presentation. As Philippe said, if you're going to prepare a disclosure and a useful one, I think for the notes, you're obviously going to have to undertake some degree of measurement. It will not be recognized in the income statement or balance sheet per se, but it will have to be measured for presentation purposes, disclosure purposes. And unfortunately, I think it will have to involve fair value. But we won't go there right now.
Not yet.
The issue, I think, though, is to ensure that we are leveraging the feedback we've already received with the presentation models that we've developed thus far. I think Chung Wu hits on a very good point. Before we go down the path of assembling an expert advisory panel, which I see could be useful in terms of how companies would actually operationalize this and actually book the entries to affect this, gathering information from treasury desks or what have you, and sales desks and feeding it into an accounting system, I think we need to perhaps assemble a group of users as well as preparers and get their feedback on the presentation models as a first step. So it's almost like a two-phase discussion with this outside group. One being focused much more on the information needs, and the second one, how to operationalize it. And you know, there may be some aspects that might be extremely difficult, and we might decide to make some adjustments as a result. But I think what we have in the discussion paper is quite useful. And if that was presented, if what you could show in the notes is the application of the portfolio revaluation approach, okay, all assets and liabilities subject to dynamic risk management with your revaluation adjustments to come to fair value, and then another column that would essentially show the unhedged amount to come down to what is in fact actually hedged and subject to the risk mitigation approach that's in the balance sheet and the effects in the income statement, then I think we actually have something that would be quite useful. It wouldn't be my preference, but I would certainly think that's a major step forward for users in understanding how dynamic risk management is applied in the financial statement. So you'd have that bridge, so to speak, between the notes and the actual financial statements. And I think if you could demonstrate that model for us and test it with users as well as preparers, I think that would be a very constructive way to go down.
Agree, Pat. That's the best. If you are coming up, we certainly plan to come up with some of the tables so that you all can appreciate that. We are also not saying we won't test it. We certainly have to going forward. But what we are saying is that maybe that doesn't need to be a formal panel that we have to go through all the process. We can do that outside of that.
Right.
That's what we are saying.
Steve.
So I agree that it's a good idea to start off with information needs. However, I agree with other people's comments that shouldn't be interpreted as a disclosure-only project. I think it would be completely unacceptable if we ended up at the end of this project with only disclosures. I think we have to change recognition and measurement to provide useful information to investors. I think starting off with information needs will help us understand what we need to do in terms of recognition measurement. It may also help us understand the scope of the model that we're going to propose. I actually don't think the information needs is particularly difficult. We've already done a lot of work with investors. I think we'll find, well, they need to know about today's margin, the future net interest margin, the present value of that future margin, the exposure to changes in rates, the future business effect on the future business future net interest margin, the causes of the change in the market. It's all about the net interest margin. I mean, we have acknowledged this in using a cost-based model for this type of business activity. The investors told us they wanted that because the way they evaluate the business is by evaluating the margin and the changes in the margin and the causes and the risks associated with that margin. So I don't think it's particularly difficult to work out what they need to know to evaluate the business. The challenge then is to provide measures of performance that faithfully reflect that business. So I don't want to say that we're just putting off the difficult decision about recognition and measurement, but we do need to get to recognition and measurement sooner rather than later. In this, we don't just use this to prevaricate and take longer over it. Can I raise one other point, and that is the word dynamic in the title of the paper, because I've always felt that the discussion paper tried to address two problems. One is the current hedge accounting is the one-to-one designation and the difficulty of operationalizing that when you have a more dynamic approach to risk management. And the other aspect is the limitations of the current model in, for example, making it difficult to deal with core demand deposits and behavioralization. And I do feel that both of those require attention. And there were two things that were being solved with one model. And we shouldn't lose sight of the dynamic aspect of what we were proposing previously, as well as needing to deal with those other aspects where there are limitations in the current one.
Daryl? I think to an extent I'm almost summarizing what others have said, because I agree pretty much with what everything has gone before. I think the message that we give out in the updates and the communication has got a bit of a nuance to it, because in essence, the essence of this paper is that we want to find out what information users believe they need, and then we want to find the best way to provide that information to them. Now, hopefully that's what we do whenever we do standard setting. Hopefully that's the broad principle. The difference that comes in this particular project, I think, is generally speaking, we meet those objectives by looking first at recognition and measurement, a change in the balance sheet. I think what we've heard through the outreach process here is there is definitely a need for more information to understand what's happening. And I think the list that Stephen just offered is a very useful list of the types of things that people have said they need. But I think, and again, exactly the point that Stephen made, generally speaking, when we go into a project, we say, what are the recognition requirements? What are the measurement requirements? And then what disclosures do we provide to support that? I think the difference here is that most of the types of requirements that Stephen listed, the types of information people listed, are information requirements that are not easily supported through recognition and measurement processes. And that's because generally in this space, people are looking for a lot of what if about the future, what if about flows, what if about sensitivities, what if about unexposed positions. Balance sheets and income statements are point-in-time measures. They don't look forward to that what-if space. So I think the approach here is not so much that we're changing what information do we need or how do we provide it, but we need to think about it differently because the nature of the information people have stipulated is different. I'd then just reinforce again, I think, what Stephen said about the need to go beyond disclosure, though, because I think one of the drivers for this project in the first place was the extent of non-GAAP measures that exist already in the world out there. Non-GAAP measures exist because people can't resolve problems just through disclosure. They need something more than that. And I think we have to, maybe as part of the process, get a better understanding of how people are doing those non-GAAP measures.
Yes.
And see if that helps lead us to the type of answer that actually makes sense in the process. And then just to pick up on the expert panel issue, I really think that we would be doing a bit of a disjustice to the people who have participated in the outreach, who have written the letters, et cetera, if we went too quickly to an expert panel. I think we've got a huge amount of volume of information coming in from a very broad group of constituents. For us to then say, well, we immediately want to narrow down to a much smaller group and work with them, I think we need to digest the information we've got here, figure out a way based on the reviews that we've already got, and then at that point test what we come up with an expert panel. But to go to an expert panel to try and help us with that process, as I say, doesn't do justice to the volume of information we've already received.
Martin?
Yeah. And I also agree with the directions the staff proposed, but I think we should not make the same mistake as we done with the discussion paper, that we discussing in the same paper maybe the need for a kind of maybe disclosure of an interest rate risk position from banks in their banking book, and then in the same paper or maybe with the same we're discussing then if they're doing really dynamic risk management via risk mitigation via using derivatives. But I think that has caused a lot of trouble, and that is also the fears from regulators and us. I think, okay, that we maybe want to move to a fair valuing of the banking book, I think, which is not what our intent was, but okay, at least I think in some people's mind that okay, people said, okay, we have decided in IFRS 9 we have amortized cost accounting for certain kind of activities in the banking book, but why now during this project, even if you don't do any risk mitigation, moving to really valuing the interest rate risk? And I think that has caused irritations, and therefore I think in this next step we have really to distinguish also from users what is their information need if they don't really do dynamic risk management via risk mitigation. What is then the information need? Is it then a disclosure only maybe? Do you need something really in the performance statement? And then I think it's a different case if really banks using dynamic risk management and using derivatives. And I think because I think the information needs from users are different. That is what I think. And therefore, I think we have to clearly separate this kind of two issues.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You need to ask the question. Does the board agree with the staff recommendation?
I think they do, yes.
All in favor?
Yes.
Chen Wu?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Yuji.